Quack, quack, quack.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. That's my imitation of a lame duck. With the election behind us, Congress reconvenes next week for a lame duck session. It's supposed to pass a few more spending bills to finalize the 2007 budget. But now that Republicans are going to lose control of the House, Congress might not really finalize anything. Diantha Parker explains.
Lawmakers got defense and homeland security appropriations wrapped up before hitting the campaign trail. Now, in their last act as the 109th Congress, lawmakers have until a week from Friday to pass spending bills to fund the rest of the government. That's when a continuing resolution keeping the government running on last year's budget expires. But now, this Congress might not even bother, says budget analyst Stan Collender.
The new assumption is that Republicans will come in next week when the continuing resolution expires on November 17th. They'll end up extending it all the way through, let's say, mid-February and let the Democrats in charge of Congress next year deal with it.
If that happens, the budget could be markedly different than the one the Republicans might have passed. Collender expects the Democrats, back in charge after 12 years, would add a bit more money for education and health programs, which Collender calls veto bait for a Republican president like George W. Bush. I'm Diantha Parker for Marketplace.
On Wall Street, stocks yo-yoed most of the day, but then Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld quit, and investors seemed to like that. The Dow finished about 20 points higher to 12,176. The Nasdaq was up 9 to 2384. The S&P 500 added a couple points to 1385. Today at the White House, President Bush meets with the president-elect of Mexico, Felipe Calderón. We can already feel a bit of tension in the room. From the America's desk at WLRN, Dan Gretsch reports.
The relationship between President Bush and the incoming Calderón administration is already a bit strained. Mexicans are upset with the new immigration legislation passed in Congress. Nadia Martinez is with the Institute for Policy Studies.
Calderón has been critical about the wall that's being built on the border between Mexico and the U.S. He has no other choice. This is a huge, huge issue in Mexico.
Despite this, Mexico, the U.S., and Canada are trying to work more closely on a new initiative called the Security and Prosperity Partnership. It's meant to coordinate policy on labor, security, and energy issues.
Oil, of course, is a huge issue for the U.S. in finding sources that are not in the Middle East. And so it's obvious that Mexico would be one of the places where they would try to make this easier.
Mexico supplies 11% of American oil. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Microsoft's answer to the iPod comes out next week. It's called the Zune. It'll go for $250. And Microsoft is going to give Universal Music a cut of those sales. The two companies announced a deal this morning. Microsoft hopes to make similar profit-sharing arrangements with other record labels. This is Marketplace. A new stack of earnings on the desk this morning. Cisco Systems says its first quarter profits surged 28% over last year. Customers spent more money to upgrade their networks to handle faster internet traffic. Cisco also profited from a $7 billion buyout of Scientific Atlanta, a cable television box company. Napster said its second quarter loss was smaller than a year ago. The online music service saw a bump in revenue as well. Napster has said it's looking into the sale of the company. Rupert Murdoch's News Corp made money last quarter. It didn't do that a year ago. News Corp rolled up $843 million in profits. The company owns Fox News Channel, 20th Century Fox Studio, and MySpace. Today we'll get reports from JCPenney, Kohl's, and Viacom. The Morning Report comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, committed to providing financial expertise that helps both our members and our communities thrive. Let's thrive. Thrivent.com. By Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Reuters, delivering news and information that reaches over a billion people every day. Before it's news, it's Reuters.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Someone once said, nothing's really work unless you'd rather be doing something else. A lot of Americans would rather be doing something else. But most people can't just change careers on a whim. It takes some planning and some courage, especially if you're not 25 years old anymore. Tom Kramer has more.
Mac Beaker is looking for a job. Well, more than that, actually. He's looking for a career. For the better part of 20 years, Mac has been in nonprofit administration, most of his time spent looking for money to keep those nonprofits afloat. But now he's looking for something a little more tangible.
Kind of what I wanted to do was to do something that was really hands-on. And I think for a lot of people, that's something that's really kind of missing in their lives and their work. And for me, it really was.
So Mac and his wife, Mary, started to think about their options. Financially, they were okay. Both have been working full-time since college. And the couple talked about what would fulfill Mac's professional needs now and their combined needs in the future.
It's either we could work really hard to try to save a bunch of money and be miserable during that period so we could have a grand retirement. Or would we actually prefer to enjoy doing something now and well into retirement?
They chose the latter. And Mac's not alone. A recent study found the median age of people changing careers is 43. And those career changes aren't always driven by dollars, says Dr. Anne Marie Love, a psychologist specializing in career counseling.
The professionals who come in, they aren't as concerned as the 18-year-olds about what kind of an income they can expect to make in this new career. And they say that's not really what this is about. This is about feeling like they contributed something.
The chance to contribute has driven more than a few clients to Paul Sutherland's office. He's a certified financial planner. He says people like Mac don't have to change their lifestyle dramatically when they make the decision to change careers if they plan for it.
The main thing is you want to do budgets for the next 2 years is to know that they can feel comfortable about going to college and everything's predictable. They know what their mortgage payment's going to be and they can estimate what their, you know, phone and utilities are going to be and they can see whether they can live on the spouse's income. And if not, where's the money going to come from?
Mac says it's not been easy to step back and consider starting over professionally, but times and attitudes have changed in the last 20 years.
Work is more like dating now than it is like getting married. I'm not sure that's good, but I think accepting that reality has kind of been something I've had to come to grips with.
So at age 42, Mac finds himself in the classroom full of 20-somethings, his professor handing back last week's quiz as the periodic table looms from above the dry erase board at the front of the room. He's learning about chemistry on his way to a degree in nursing. I'm Tom Kramer for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.